It's now time for Race Chat Live with Chris Creighton and Craig Moore.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Race Chat Live. Another wonderful Thursday afternoon or evening. We have some stuff planned out for you. It's going to be myself, Taz, and we have Craig Moore with us. Chris cannot be with us tonight due to other outside activities he's got going on. But, man, what a Las Vegas race we have for the Cup Series. We'll be talking a little bit of NASCAR, and I guess there's a little bit of season talks. And then we'll throw in some wonderful news in terms of the Super Dirt Car Series up here in the Northeast for the dirt racing world. And... Craig, what do you got? How you doing over there, bud? Anyways, I think Craig might be having a little bit of issue, but so Cup Series racing playoffs kicked off round two. The round of 12 at Las Vegas. We saw Kurt Busch. If anyone remembered last week, I said this would be his make or break deal in this round. Las Vegas has not treated him very well and finally got the win he needed for this one, so he's safe and going to the round of eight. Now, question is going to be Talladega for this week.
Craig, you there?
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, so I got to ask you a question before you get too far involved. I don't know what you said in the last 4 minutes after something happened, but before we get into the whole Vegas thing, the new schedule came out. We got two tracks losing, Chicagoland and Kentucky, and Bristol. We're getting six road course races, which is, in my opinion, friggin' ridiculous. But Bristol's getting a dirt race. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I think that there's other tracks that are already dirt tracks, that key one being Eldora out in Ohio, that would be less work for the team owners. I know it's not a Bruton Smith owned track, which is probably why it's not being held there, because it's a Tony Stewart owned track. But I just think that there's a reason that they've only run a dirt race there once in the last 50 years, because it's a lot of work. I'm just interested to know what you guys think about it.
The new schedule, Chicagoland, Kentucky off the schedule. Kentucky, I can honestly live without, because to me, in that opinion, it's a hit or miss on good race or bad race. Chicagoland, I'm actually disappointed in. That track has always had some great racing there, so I'm kind of disappointed that's gone. Nashville, I'm interested to see. Bristol, I didn't expect the dirt aspect, but I think they're trying something different, try to get fans back in. I could see why you would go Eldora in a way, but I don't think they could fit a Cup Series crowd capacity if they had to look at it that way.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if they're hoping to get back to the former glory of what Bristol once was, I think that, you know, there's that old saying, wish in one hand and in the other. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the case. I don't think they're ever going to get back to those numbers that they had 20 years ago. I just think that putting it there or somewhere, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be El Douro. I'm just saying that somewhere other than Bristol. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of logistical nightmare. Bristol even said it a few years ago. Excuse me. As far back as springtime, when it was being talked about, that it would be a logistical nightmare for them. So the NASCAR must have, somebody must have ponied up a lot of cash to make this happen. And I know it sounds like I'm pissing on somebody's parade. I just look at it from, you know, there's other deserving venues that are dirt tracks that could be used.
I agree. I think Knoxville would be a brilliant one, but I think there'd be a lot of talks into that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe Knoxville would be a good one. Like I said, Eldora, I think that should, in terms of NASCAR, that should just stick to the trucks. I don't think they would be able to fit a Cup Series crowd capacity.
Well, do we know the attendance for... Oh, and by the way, if you looked at all the new schedules, if you looked at the new schedule for 2021, you know what you didn't see in there?
What did I miss?
Chaz, you know, you didn't see any midweek races. You know why? Because nobody gave two shits about midweek races. And that's sad because people said, oh, we want midweek races. NASCAR was the only sport that was on. And there was the viewership, the numbers were horrible. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but they were far less than what they had anticipated they would be. Which kind of is sad because there was a lot of people, and I was one of them. Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing a midweek race. And if I remember right, Chris said the same thing. He wouldn't mind seeing a midweek race, and then we get midweek races, and what happens? People work midweek. I mean, yeah, it was during the pandemic, but I'm an essential worker. You're an essential worker. We got to go to work, either in the morning or at night. So, and the sport is generally a Saturday-Sunday sport, not a Wednesday-Thursday sport.
But, I mean, I get that there was a pandemic going on. They had to make up races somewhere and try to fit them in. And I'm glad that NASCAR did that, and I'm glad they tried something different. But I'm also glad at the fact that they were like, well, we didn't succeed here, so why should we try it again?
Right, and that's exactly what I'm saying is it didn't work. So they're not going to shove it down our throat for 2021, which makes it easier for us on the planning end of shows for 2021 because then we don't have to worry about preempting shows because we're stepping on a truck race or an Xfinity race or something like that.
Right. Like I said, there's some interest. The whole road course thing. I'm on the same page as you for having six road courses, but I guess there's a bunch of number of fans that have been wanting more road courses, which is I guess the reason why NASCAR did that. I'm disappointed that the Brickyard 400 is basically not there because the Indy Oval's gone. And it's now the Roval. I honestly think this. The trucks have their own one unique race, which is Eldora on dirt. Xfinity, when they did the Indy Roval, I was like, oh, hey, okay. This could be their, like, one unique race that everyone gets to tune into. The Cup race, the Cup Series, I believe the All-Star was, you know, the one race that would stick out. Even though it's not a points race, it's the one race that sticks out that everyone wants to tune into. Well, unfortunately, in the All-Star race, it's no longer at Bristol, which, you know, why would you try to keep that one going? Or think about going to Martinsville if you want a different place, and you want to go to Texas?
Well, they say everything is bigger in Texas. So maybe they're figuring.
I'm not a fan of it.
I'm not either, and I think that, and Chris just chimed in, that he's very disappointed that they took the Brickyard off the schedule. Absolutely. You know, that was one of the marquee races of the season, that a driver wanted to go there and win because it was such a prestigious race to win. Now it's just another frickin' race. Now it's another race on the schedule. There is nothing that says, hey, I want to go to Brickyard. I want to go to Brickyard and win that race. No, I'm going to go to Indy, and I got a shot at winning the road course. Whoop-de-doo. You know, it takes the lure of the allure of the track away from the the whole schedule. That's my view on it. And I just think
when NASCAR did All-Star Race at Bristol, I was like, you know what? What the heck? Everyone likes short track racing. Why not have a points race at a track that everyone likes under the lights? And just have a grand old time. Guys can go, you know, go beat and bang to try to win a crap ton of money. And ever since they did that, I was like, you know, I don't mind an all-star race at a short track. If Bristol's the lock-in all-star race for the future that never ends or whatever, I would be okay with it as long as, you know, Bristol remains the two-lane track that it is. But it sucks that they moved it from there to Texas. And it's like, you're now going backwards. Like, you went from Charlotte to Bristol, not to Texas. I mean, I would have went back to Charlotte if you were going to go move it out of Bristol, in my opinion.
I guess I understand people were saying move it around. There was some talk about moving it around. And then now people are doing it. And now people aren't happy about it. And I get it. I agree with Chris. He just chimed in, sent a message over, and he said they should have left it at Bristol Motor Speedway. I agree. I think this was a very bad year for them to gauge how things were going to take place because of COVID. I mean, it's very hard to say, oh, yeah, it wasn't a success because, well, it wasn't a success because there was nobody at the track, because we couldn't be there. There wasn't anybody at the track because nobody was interested. It was because we were on lockdown. So I think they should have given it one more year and seen what it was, or even move it every 2 or 3 years. You know, give it to Bristol. They gave it to Bristol this year. Give it to them next year. And maybe the following year. And then move it to, like,
my opinion, all-star race, I would say either a short track or a plate race. If you're going to move it to a mile and a half track, please let it be a good one. Like Chicagoland, for instance, or Auto Club. Well, Auto Club's going to be moving to a short track, so that's kind of throwing out the water, but
I just think that
I find it more entertaining with a short track or a plate race for an all-star race, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think NASCAR, you've heard of teams going in and just throwing a a wrench at it? Well, I think that's exactly what they did. They went in and they took the wedge wrench and they just cranked it. And where it stopped, that's where they let it. And then Road of America, being a 4th of July race, I don't know. I think that we've got way too many road courses. They're keeping Watkins Glen on the schedule, so let's run this down quick, Taz.
Yep.
You've got Watkins Glen. You've got Sonoma. You've got Road America. You've got the Roval. To what, 4 now?
I believe so.
Okay, and now you've got...
4 or 5. Circuit of the Americas.
Right, Circuit of the Americas. And I'm missing one. Indianapolis.
Yep.
So you got 5 of them. Out of 36 races, 38 races with the 2 exhibitions, 6 of those races are road courses. It's just, to me, I find it absolutely ridiculous. But that's, you know... I mean, who am I? They listen to a core section of fans, I should say.
But, I get they want to go different directions and give something a whirl. I feel like they went backwards, but I don't want to bash on them too much because I want to give them a chance and see where some of these changes go, if it actually will benefit in a longer run, or if it's something that they're like, well, we gave it a shot, kind of see what we can do with it. Like I said, they took a shot, and we'll see what happens if it's a hit or miss. I know Atlanta has 2 dates now. Darlington has 2 dates now.
What was the capacity at Atlanta this year? I mean, pre-COVID, before they shut it down. The capacity is what, 100,000, 70,000?
Some around that ballpark range, I believe.
Okay. So, all right. So
oh, no,
let's say 120K. So 120,000. They can only fill about 30 to 40% of that. So 40% of that is 48,000. They still have 72,000 seats that are left unfilled. So now they give them 2 races? For what reason? To me, it makes no sense. I don't understand their – I'd love to know their philosophy. And I didn't hear anybody over on the networks today that could tell you the reasoning behind it, because some of them were even baffled by it.
Right.
I mean, and again, it sounds like I'm bashing them, and I kind of am, because to me it makes no sense. But –
Oh, yeah, Dover loses the race only because they share with, I think that's the same company or ownership group as Nashville. So Dover lost the race because of Nashville.
Right. Well, you know, when they add a race, they're going to take one away somewhere.
Yep. Pocono, which is why Circuit of America's got added and Texas lost one.
Right. Pocono kept their doubleheader, which is okay, because they had planned on it anyway going forward. They're back there within 3 weeks. If they didn't do that, they would have been back there within 3 weeks.
Exactly.
But here is something that I find kind of weird. They're still going to have the West Coast swing, but I guess I'm not going to Daytona February 14th like I wanted to, because that's Valentine's Day. So you've got Daytona 500, and then the following week, they go 3 hours, 3.5 hours down the road, 4 hours down the road to Miami Homestead. Then they go out and do the West Coast swing of Auto Club, Vegas, Phoenix. Then they come back to Atlanta. March 28th is the dirt race. Then they're off for a week. And then they hit Martinsville, Richmond, and then they go to the ever-loving and Chris's favorite race, the Talladega Super Speedway for the Cup Series race, which just happens to be on Earnhardt's birthday. They could have got rid of Kansas. That's May 2nd. May 9th is Darlington.
Kansas, I'm okay with leaving there. It has produced some good races. Not the greatest, I would say, but honestly, to me, it's better than Kentucky.
Michigan also lost a race. Dover loses a race. It's just the way they're doing, the way they do things, I guess, you know, we'll never understand. And I guess good racing is great, but what it really boils down to is how much money is going in the coffers. Obviously, you know, money's being put somewhere because there's no way that certain tracks should lose races, and a place like Atlanta, again, gets two tracks, gets two dates. I just don't understand it. But, you know, again, the bigger news, and I think the big news coming out this week is, besides the schedule, is the fact that you see that Chad Knaus is going to be vice president of competition at HMS, so he'll be stepping down off the box. They've yet to name a successor, but, and Chris said this months ago, that, and the rumor is back open, that Larson has been in meetings with Chevy. He's been in meetings with NASCAR. And he could possibly be reinstated. And if he is, there is a good shot that he could be in that 48.
So yeah, there's been a lot of talks about that. I did hear about Chad Knaus. I'm glad he's getting promoted. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate for Byron because Byron's gotten a lot better, I believe, with Knaus up on top of the box. And I really thought Byron could be a championship contender about another year or two with Knaus being up there. But some people are now saying with Knaus stepping down, they want Johnson and Knaus to be teamed up for one race at Phoenix.
Well, I don't know. It seems like 6-1, half dozen of the other, I guess. You know, I guess whatever works. But I think if he's vice president of competition, I don't think he should come out of the office to go sit on the box. I don't think if Johnson is retired, that, you know, granted he can run Daytona if he wants because he's a past champion. But I just think if you're retired, and I said this the same thing about Dale Jr., if you're retired, you're retired. Mark Martin, well, that man, I just watched an interview with him, and I don't think that man will ever retire. He still looks good at his age. If I look that good when I hit his age, I'll be extremely happy, but I don't really think so. But who knows? I mean, Johnson's going to run his 12 races in the IndyCar series, and we'll have to see how that.
They just released the schedule, actually, IndyCar did. I think they released it today, as a matter of fact. I do believe they have – I'm trying to pull this up kind of quick. I do believe 12 or – I want to say 13 out of what looks like to be 12 out of 17 races. I believe 12 or 13 of those are road course or street courses. So Johnson will basically be running nearly a full IndyCar series schedule for next year.
And how many races did you say there was in their schedule?
They just released it, and there's 17 on the schedule for IndyCar.
And he's running 12 of them.
And he's running only in street courses, which is basically all of them, but I believe Texas, Indy. Oh, Texas is having a doubleheader by the looks of it. Texas, Indianapolis, and I believe in Gateway are the oval races. Because IndyCar is doing... They start off at St. Petersburg, then do Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama. Then they do the streets of Long Beach. Then they go to Texas for a doubleheader. Then they're doing... Oh, no, Indianapolis is a road course, so I might be wrong there. They're doing Indianapolis for a road course. Then about 2 weeks later, they go back to Indy for the Indy 500. Then they're going to Raceway at Belle Isle for a doubleheader. Then Road America, Mid-Ohio, the streets of Toronto, streets of Nashville. Then they go back to Indy for the road course. Then Gateway, Portland Raceway, and they close everything off at WeatherTech Raceway of Laguna Seca.
I'll see him. I might as well just sign for a full season. And I don't know who he thought he was. I don't know if he thought he was kidding his wife or what. But maybe he thought if he told her he was only running 12 races, he might think she wasn't smart enough to figure out how many races were in a season. Because he's running three quarters of them. And I mean, good for him if that's what he wants to do. Hey, he's done his. His time in NASCAR, he's done his, you know, and now it's time for him to expand his horizons, if you will, inside of in other venues. But let's talk. We've got some exciting news happening. We'll get back to NASCAR in a little while, but we've got some exciting news happening. Actually, starting this coming weekend. At Caroga Creek Raceway Park, where you happen to be a flagger, and one of the high in the pecking order members of the Heavy Tire Predator Series. So why don't you tell us what's going on this weekend at Caroga Creek Raceway Park? That's Tom Barron's place, and I'm hoping to get out there, but I don't know. I got to go back in for a procedure tomorrow, so I don't know if I'm going to be up to going to the track on Saturday. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
All right. I don't want to give too much away because I do have a video coming out tomorrow morning about the Heavy Tire Predator race. So, Luke, this was in talks around, I want to say mid-season. Luke and I were talking about doing some kind of fall classic race for the class, and we were thinking about doing it at his backyard track and whatnot. And then I guess him and Tom were talking about it later on. About a week or 2 weeks ago, could be wrong. And it happened. So we have now come up with the Halloween Havoc 50. So FIPS around Caroga Creek. That'll be happening this Saturday. We are looking at somewhere around 10 to 12 carts, roughly, which is great. There are carts that are having special guest drivers. I'll be head flagger for that event. Basically, winner at the end of this is getting a big old trophy. This is the class's biggest race of the season. And this is kind of a way to send, great way to send off what has been an odd and crazy 2020 season. But it's great that it's happening, and I'm hoping that the drivers that are racing in someone else's cart will consider running in the class next year for 2021. But it's looking like a fun time. We have a good core of drivers in particular. And like I said, there's a couple of special guest drivers that are stepping in carts. We're talking about youth and adults, and I think it'll be a blast. Everyone's excited for it. And like I said, I'll have a video released for it, and I'll put that out on my page, the Heavy Tire Predator Facebook group page, and I'll have it out on to Race Chat Live, and I'll try to share it to the Caroga Creek page as well, so it'll be out there.
Well, if I wasn't in the midst of recovering from lung surgery, I would have gladly seen if somebody would let me step into their cart. But I don't think me getting jostled around in a go-kart is a good idea. something just tells me that would not be a good idea. I go over a bump in the city of Gloversville, and I want to scream bloody murder. And for those of you that, Taz, you know what I'm talking about, coming down Fulton Street in Gloversville, you're hitting potholes. It's like driving in the city of Amsterdam.
pretty much.
So I just, that would not be a good idea, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out Saturday. We'll have to see what goes on tomorrow. I'm guessing that I'll be homebound at least until Monday or Tuesday. If not by doctor's orders, but by Lily's orders, she'll probably take my car keys, which will drive me nuts. But, I hope that it's a huge success for you guys. I know that, and if you guys have not seen the video of Luke Rakowski's track, you guys really need to, we need to really share it again on the Race Chat Live page. And I thought something was interesting, and Tom had said it, Tom Varon, the owner of Caroga Creek, had said it earlier this week, that they didn't do points this year because of the way the schedule was. But they're going to do them next year. So I think it's pretty cool that, you know, everybody's coming out and they're running and they're having a good time, and you know, they know how they're doing point wise. If they were running for points, they know how they would be doing. And the one time that I was out there, I did get a chance to watch pretty much all of it. I think I left after intermission or something like that, because I just couldn't deal with the heat. But it was, those guys and girls put on a heck of a show. And you know, I'm a little biased here, but Ava and Aaron Rakowski, they're two good little wheel people. They really are. They're good little wheelmen and wheel women. I don't want Ava to get mad at me and the next time she sees me yell at me for saying she's a wheel man. I'm sure she's not listening, but I'm sure that dad is. But I mean, you know, but they're able to keep it. They're very professional for their ages. They're very mindful of what needs to be done, what changes need to be done. And for the most part, they're out there to have a good time, but they also want to win. And I think that that's super, you know, but they understand that winning isn't everything. And that's a credit to their, that's a credit to their father, Luke, and a credit to their grandfather that, you know, winning isn't everything. You go out and you have a good time, and you know, then everything will fall into place. And if you're not having a good time doing it, then
why do it?
Then why do it? So what else you got going? What else is going on here in the Great Northeast over the next couple of weeks? I see Glen Ridge is having something too.
Yeah, Glen Ridge, let me pull it up quick. They have a two-day event that they just released. Let me pull it up quick here, and we now have it. So, on October 16th and 17th, Friday, October 16th, they'll be having a full card of racing with the Crate Sportsman, Pro Stocks, Limited Sportsman, Street Stocks, Mini Stocks, and their junior and senior slingshots. Basically, they're running a normal card as if it was a normal weekly Sunday scheduled race. Then on Saturday, the 17th, they'll have their third enduro race of the season. And I guess they're going to have some demo derbies going on as well. More rules and info will be posted at a later time. Unfortunately, until they get permission to make it happen, no fans in the stands to make this happen, which is disappointing, especially when you have demo derbies lined up, and fans love those.
Oh, yeah, that's a New York staple. Are you kidding? I mean, how do you have demo derbies and not have people at the track? I mean, it makes me sad, but, and I won't get into politics, but, you know, that's our wonderful state government, and that's all I'll say about that. you know, you and I are on the same page as far as that's concerned.
Exactly.
But I think that that's going to be a great event at Glen Ridge. I did reach out. I did when I seen the event was posted. I don't know if you've seen, you had seen my comment on it, but I was trying to get somebody, one of the drivers that was going to participate in it, to join us next week. And apparently Glen Ridge took my comment down. Not sure why, unless I just missed it. I just figured that it would be great for somebody from Glen Ridge to come in and talk about the race. And, you know, apparently they didn't think so, because they took the post, they took my comment down, unless, like I said, unless I just missed it, which, you know, could very well be.
I don't know. I'll have to look again, so.
I'm going to look and see. What else is going on? There's another, what's that October? Oh, you said about the supercar, sprint car dirt series.
Yep. So, with no super dirt week at Oswego this year, here in New York and in the Northeast, because of COVID regulations and everything. Super Dirt Car Series and Dirt Car have partnered up to create an alternative, and they created Oktoberfest. 6 days of racing at 6 different tracks featuring 4 divisions that will include the Super Dirt Car Series Big Block Modifieds, Dirt Car 358 Modifieds, Dirt Car Sportsman Modifieds, and the Dirt Car Pro Stocks. It's from October 6th to the 11th. On October 6th, they are starting at Albany Saratoga Speedway at Malta, New York, with the Big Block Modified Sportsman and Pro Stocks. Then October 7th, they move over to Vernon, New York, where Unicorum Speedway is located. The Big Block Modifieds, the Small Block Modifieds, the 358, and the Pro Stocks are in action. October 8th, they head to Fulton, New York at Fulton Speedway. Big Blocks once again, Small Block 358 Modifieds, and the Sportsmen's are on card. Can-Am Speedway on October 9th in Lafargeville, New York. Big Block Modified, Small Block 358, and the Sportsmen's on that tap. For October 10th, they go to Canandaigua for Atlanta Legends Raceway. Only 2 divisions, the Super Dirt Car Series Big Blocks and the Dirt Car Sportsman. Then they wrap everything up at Weed Sports Speedway on October 11th with the Big Block Modified Sportsman and Pro Stock divisions. There is a lot of drivers that do plan on entering at least one event. It's for regardless of divisions, but I mainly have the Big Block drivers. And there's a good handful that are attending to run all 6 of these races. Some of those include the 8-time Super Dirt Car Series champion and the Jersey Jet, Brett Hearn. Then we have Eric Rudolph in the out of Ransomville. Then we have local driver who will be driving a Tyler Thompson owned car, and the Flying Squirrel, Rocky Warner. Jesse Mueller will be racing. Mike Mahaney, who was the Albany Saratoga track champion, will be planning on all 6. K&N Pro or ARCA Menards East Series driver Max McLaughlin has partnered up with Sweeteners Plus in that team. He'll be driving the 32C. Then we have the trio of the Gypsum Racing guys and Pat Ward, Larry White, and Billy Decker planning on the 6 races. Mark Johnson, Jack Lehner, and Demetrius Drellos, big names in our area at least, planning on all 6. Jimmy Phelps, who's the Weedsport track promoter and also Big Block Modified driver, will be attending all 6. The 2019 Super Dirt Car Series champion from Canada, Matt Williamson, will be attending all 6. And another one will be attending all 6 of these races is a former guest of Race Chat Live. He is also a regular in the NASCAR Truck Series, and it's Stuart Friesen. And
Did he just become king of something?
He became king of the can in the Short Track Super Series and won the Short Track Super Series North Region Championship. With him winning that and the American Racer Cup, if he wins the South Region for the Short Track Super Series, he'll be the second ever grand champion for Brett Dale and his series. The first one to do it happened last year. That was Matt Shepard, and I believe the grand champion gets a whopping like $53,000 or $54,000 paycheck.
Nice. All right, you know what? I'm still on Glenn Ridge's page right now. They are in the midst of voting for their division awards. Danny Ballard won the 2020 Most Popular Driver in the All-Star Slingshots. Most Popular Driver finals will begin, it began today at 1 o'clock. It ends tomorrow at 1. Brandon Tyler, or Gina Voorhees, is that how you say it? Popular driver
so.
For that. Damian Anderson in the Street Stocks versus Adam Trenka in the Street Stocks. Big, huge shout out to a young man that we've had on the show once or twice. He is the one of the successful children of the Flying Squirrel, Corky Warner. He won the Most Popular Driver in the Junior Slingshots division. And Tanner actually picked up his first victory at Albany Saratoga a few weeks back. So congratulations to both of the Warner boys for their individual accomplishments this year. So, I mean, it's exciting. Go over to the Glen Ridge Motorsports Park page if you want to vote. You can also check us out online at Race Chat, on Facebook at Race Chat Live. We're on Twitter as well. We're looking into actually next year doing a YouTube series. If we could do all the logistics right, we may be doing this on YouTube. I know that the three of us are going to sit down and discuss how we might be able to pull that off next year, with us being in, well, you and I are close by, and Chris is down in the Mississippi region, but we might be able to pull it off. So we're looking into that for next year. That'll be pretty exciting. But Glen Ridge is they're up and going. Their votes. So I would check it out, and it's gonna be a nice winter break, I should say, for the local dirt season. As soon as these Halloween events are over, I think we're pretty much done here in the New York region for racing. Isn't that right, Taz?
It seeming like ended. They're gonna be ending soon. It's looking like I would probably say mid October. So I believe Glen Ridge, as far as I know of, is basically the last track to run anything. So I know Dodge City is done for the season. Caroga Creek's wrapping up tomorrow and Saturday. Which Caroga Creek, by the way, as a event promoter for the NetPro Flat Cart Series, the WCRS and NetPro will be doing a doubleheader this Saturday. We were supposed to race round three about 2 weeks ago, but of course we had some lighting/generator issues with a rental company we had, and we kind of had to come up with an alternative, and we kind of had a bail on the series, so we ran the night race anyway. But Tom Barron called it the Who's Got Balls money races, only for like three or four senior classes pretty much. It was still interesting to say the least, but we moved that series race to this coming Saturday, along with the Halloween Havoc 50. But the Halloween Havoc 50 will be taking place in between the doubleheader for the series races. But as far as New York goes, I think we're done around the 16th of October. But in terms of the Northeast racing in general, I believe Northeast will be ending around the 18th, I believe, when Port Royal has their 200-lap main event. But we can discuss more of that next week because, boy, do I have an entry list for that big old race. And I mean an entry list. It's a monster.
Let's just hit on a few of them and then, just as a teaser for next week. And then let's do our picks for this weekend's race, this weekend's series of racing.
Well, next week I'll go over the whole event for the Speed Showcase. Basically, what was supposed to be the Fonda 200 got moved to Port Royal. So the 200 lap from Fonda is now going to Port Royal. $53,000 to the modified winner. If the format for this year is the same as last year, basically drivers draw for the heat race lineups, heads up start for the features. Heat races determine select starting spots, and then any last chance qualifiers make up the rest of the field. And they have at it for 200 laps.
All right. And so define heads up starting for somebody who's not 100% sure what that means.
So heads up starting, last year for the Fonda 200, they did this. I believe they had three heat races. The winner of heat one gets to start on the pole. Winner of heat two starts second. Winner of heat three starts third. Second place finishers will start four, five, and six. Then third place and fourth place, that kind of deal. Only certain amount of cars from each heat race will qualify. Everyone else will qualify straight to the main event. Everyone else will go to the second chance or last chance qualifiers of Constellations, where only a certain amount of drivers out of those will make up the rest of the, I'm assuming 40, but we'll see how many cars show up for that. I know last year it was 40. This year could be up.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Now, let's talk about this weekend's race. Let's shift gears, change lanes, and talk this weekend's racing action in NASCAR. Before we get started, Chris says that he has Brett Moffitt in truck and Keselowski in cup. So we'll start there. And truck series this weekend. Oh, wait, no. I got a question I want you to ponder. We can talk about it as we leave the truck series picks, and maybe Chris will hear it and he'll weigh in. Do you think somehow, some way, Toyota will find a car for Stewie to run that Bristol race in March? If it doesn't, because they haven't released the truck in Xfinity series yet. They're supposed to be doing that sometime this
Chris
weekend.
Chris sent some text in the messenger, just so you know.
What's that?
I said Chris has his picks in the messenger, just so you know.
Oh, I know. I just said it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he'd weigh in. I was letting you know he already weighed in.
No. He already weighed in.
Where are you waiting?
I don't know if they'll do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. So either way, I'm not going to be surprised one way or another. I would like to see him do the Bristol Dirt Race, but at the same time, I don't think it'll happen. But I'll keep that open minded though.
Okay. All right. So who do you got for the truck race this Saturday?
Oh boy. This is going to be a tough one. I'm going to try to throw it out there, and I'm probably going to be way off on this. I'm going to say Austin Hill for the trucks.
Nice. Interesting. CJ, if you can hear, and if you either want to weigh in because you've been kind of quiet, I know you're packing and go away. But if you want to weigh in and on who you think might be, either shoot us a message or unmute yourself and chime in, that would be great. I think he just needs a good showing. He's coming off a fourth place finish last week. I'm going to go with Stewie this week. He's always my perennial favorite to win each and every week. I think that he needs a good showing. Not to save his ride, of course, because he owns it. He owns part of it. But I think he just needs a good – morale booster. And I think that a good, solid finish or a win would be just what he needed to move forward, even though he's already, we all know he's already eliminated. But I think that's what he needs for to move forward. Now, I'm pretty sure that the Xfinity Series is racing this weekend, too, at Talladega. I believe it's a triple threat weekend. I could be wrong.
I'm just pulling it up here. Yes, they are.
They're running Saturday at 4:30.
Right after the truck race.
Yeah. And, it's kind of weird because they were going against, remember when they weren't doing two races in the same day, either series, because they wanted to sanitize the tracks and do all that stuff. They've kind of gotten away from that now, which is great. But we've not had the problem in our sport where the other drivers have had theirs, where the other sports have had theirs. So theirs is going to be Saturday at 4:30, directly immediately following the truck race. So I'm going to go with Ross Chastain. I just think that's a good solid pick. I think that he doesn't need it, obviously. He's already got a ride for next year. I just think that it's going to propel him and make them think, hey, this is exactly what we need. And it'll give him a swift kick in the pants and confidence. So I'm going to go with Chastain.
That's not a bad pick. If you didn't pick him, I probably would have. But I'm going to go.
Well, you should have.
Then
we'll both be right.
I'm going same manufacturer and same team, but I'm going with Chastain's teammate and Justin Haley for the Xfinity Series.
Okay. Interesting. Chris, I know you're listening, so who do you got for the Xfinity Series? If you want to chime in quick, even when we move to Cup, we can come back for sure and get your pick in. But going in Cup Series, I'll.
Oh, he's going with Big Bad Briscoe.
Oh, is that who he's going with? Is Briscoe?
Yeah, that's who
Chase
he's going
Briscoe.
With.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting. All right, so he's taking Brad. He looks like one of the Beavis and Butthead characters too. I don't remember which one. I always say Luke Bryan looks like one of them, and I can't remember which one is which. But Brad Keselowski always looks like he's mad at everybody. And I guess that's a good quality to have sometime. I'm going to go with he's out of the playoffs, but he's going to want to get his crew chief another victory before he steps down off the box. So I'm going to go with William Byron, or as what is her name? She is on Sirius. She's on with Larry Mack. Oh, I can't think of her name. Anyway, she calls him Willie B. Trotta. I can't think of her first name. She calls him Willie B, and I don't get why. It's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Oh, Chris, it's Danielle. Danielle Trotta, I believe is her first name. Yep, Danielle. I heard that this morning, and I was like, are you kidding me, Willie B? And then Larry Mack says, I'll just stick to William Byron. But I'm gonna go with William Byron. I think he's going to want to get his crew chief one more win, get it under his, to have him go out at least with another win and go out with a good feeling. And I'll be interested to see with who they pair him with for next year. Hendrick has the ability to, they're known from promoting within. So I know that myself, you or Chris or CJ is not getting that crew chief spot at Hendrick Motorsports. So we don't have a shot. So what say you?
Oh, man, my pick for Talladega. It's so hard to really pick a winner for these plate tracks because anything can happen. And but my pick, I'm going with a non-playoff driver. I would like him pull off three in a row. I'm going with Ryan Blaney. If I can't go with Ryan Blaney, then I would like to see my favorite driver. He already has two wins, Jimmy Johnson, but I would like to see Blaney pull off three in a row at Talladega. I don't know if anyone's ever done that.
Well, I would like to see Jimmy pop off a win too, but that's just out of sentimental. That's just out of sentimental. That's nothing to do with, anything else. I would like to see William do it because he's going to be in the sport for years to come. Jimmy, it's his last race. It's his last season. And in fact, he hasn't been anything to write home about all year. But you know what I noticed? I can tell you right now that I'll tell you CJ's going to pick Kyle Bladass Bush. And Miss Lee is probably going to pick. If I had to guess, Miss Lee would pick. I would say Denny Hamlin, but you notice nobody picked out of the three of us, nobody picked Denny Hamlin to win. Who starts from the pole this weekend?
True.
Nobody picked Kevin Harvick.
I don't think he does well at plate tracks.
So have their stars lost a little luster? And I don't know if you were writing all those down. I wasn't. But we should post those to the Race Chat Live page. And that way we have them. So that way, whoever is closer has bragging rights for next week. But I said this in the group chat. My lungs are almost tapped. So I don't have anything else. I don't know if you have anything else, but I can't do much more talking.
I think we can wrap it up right here. It sounds like a good spot to do so.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. We're going to talk more about the events in the 518 next week. Taz has got some stuff coming up. And for next week with drivers' entries, we're going to reach out to a couple of drivers and see if we can't get them on next week. And we'll see what's going on down in the Mississippi area with Chris as far as if they're doing any racing down there in October. And I want to thank CJ and the entire staff here at the 110. For allowing us to do this show each and every week. Get out and, I believe they're doing the Super Dirt Car Series or whatever it is there. They're going to do it on Dirt Track Digest TV, I believe. Is that correct?
It's on Dirt Vision. It's on Dirt Vision, not Dirt Track Digest.
Okay, Dirt Vision. So, be sure to get out and, subscribe to that for the weekend. For the local events, and that's all I've got. Taz, I don't know what you got, but that's all I've got.
I'm good. Just want to say, Taroga Creek once again, Friday tomorrow night is the final points night, and then Saturday is WCRS NetPro doubleheader, and Halloween Havoc 50, and I believe Saturday is also a Junior 2 Turquoise double features for the class. Winner gets winner of each feature gets a $100 scholarship prize. Can't wait for Kroger to. It's sad, but I'm kind of excited for season to wrap up. But can't wait to get. Two shows in 2 days, and hopefully everything goes well.
All right, so until next week, we'll talk to everybody next week. Be sure to like the Facebook page, Race Chat Live, like the 110 Nation page on Facebook as well. Check out the website at www.the110nationsports.com, and maybe I'll be so inclined over the next couple of days when I'm not doing anything but recovering to write another opinion piece on too many damn road courses in next year's cup schedule. And again, not that anybody listens but to what I have to say, but it'll be just nice to get it off my chest. So maybe I'll do that over the next couple of days. And until next week, remember, be good to one another and tell the ones you love closest to you. Tell the ones closest to you that you love them each and every day. And with that being said, good night, everybody.